Big news this morning, 7 months to save £70 million. The Nolan Show can reveal today that all five hospital trusts will hold public meetings next Thursday throughout Northern Ireland to reveal their plans to slash £70 million from hospital budgets. These meetings are being called extraordinary meetings. You can go along to them. They are public consultations at this stage, so we're giving you a heads up about them this morning. They will take place next Thursday, that's the 24th, all at exactly the same time, 12 noon, in the Ulster Hospital, Knockbracken Healthcare Park, Craigavon Hospital, Antrim Hospital and Altnagelvin. The withdrawal of £70 million of funding from healthcare could have a very significant impact on your care. And now we're telling you this morning that this all has to be done within the next 7 months. The former head of the Health and Social Care Board, John Compton, with us this morning. First of all, John, give us a sense of, can £70 million be taken out of a budget within the next 7 months without that having a significant impact?
Well, not really, actually. I mean, I think your listeners will appreciate that it's a very sizable amount of money, and there will be an impact, and people will understand it and feel it. I mean, where it will go to is in terms of cash control. The department have indicated to you that that's what's going to happen next week in terms of consultation. So a consultation is a set of proposals. It's not a decision at this stage, in my understanding of it. It's a set of proposals, and they will look to cash control, because the cash control in health falls into really a small number of areas. It's about community care and how many packages you have in the community. It's about what you do with elective care. It's how you look after locum and agency nurses and doctors. And it's also about what does the health service actually buy. These are the things where they can control cash.
So the chief executives, just for me to get my head around the very basics of this, the chief executives of these five health trusts, they will have sat down, and by this stage, they will have worked out their proposals to save £70 million.
They'll have worked out there. The £70 million will be divided across the health and social care trusts.
And
they'll be telling the public next week where they propose to do that. I presume with the consultation period, there'll be a point of time whenever the public will have their say as to whether or not they think that's sensible or not sensible to do, what alternatives, what mitigating circumstances, all of these things. That's what the consultation will be about. And then there'll be action and decision. But clearly it comes from the actual point that the health and social care system is obligated to break even, live within its resources. And of course, each year it really does struggle to do that because of rising populations and new treatments and all the things that maybe we've talked about over the years. And this year it needs to do something to control that cash. And the number that is currently being talked about is £70
million. But how do they get to the stage of halfway through a year now needing to do this? Like, they're not doing it this. I would have guessed, and this is no blame on the trusts, because at the end of the day, there's not enough money for the health service. We know that. But do they not plan it out every month? How do they get halfway through the year and now, oh my goodness, we've got to save £70 million? In 7 months.
I don't think it's a surprise. I think probably at the start of the year, the number was much, much bigger than that. And my guess is the number at the start of the year, whenever they sat down to look at it, would have been around £300 million. A variety of things have happened to help them in terms of money coming in. A variety of actions have already taken place. And now there's a mid-year review, I'm guessing, in terms of the financial position. And they're working out what they need to do at the mid-year point to make this thing come to balance at the end of the year.
You might notice in the Belfast Telegraph today, if you have a look, you will see these ads being posted, and they're being called extraordinary meetings. Should the public bother going? Can they have any effect in this? Or will the chief executives, I know it's called proposals, I know it's a public consultation, but in reality, will this already have been decided? Are they going to listen to, you know, John Blow on the ground?
Well, I think people do listen, actually. You know, I know there's a great potential to think that it's a sort of cynical exercise and all of that. But I think what I think the trusts really would want to hear is, what are the mitigating factors that maybe they should think about it. Have they thought about everything? What you can't get away from is if the 70 million is a hard number, it's a hard number. They have to get the 70 million.
So there's no way out of this?
Well, the only way out of it, of course, would be in a political sort of debate and a political discussion, and we're in pretty difficult territory as far as all of that is concerned. So, you know, the health service is having to live in that sort of difficult space. It has a problem with its cash, it has a problem with the politics, and it's having to live in that very difficult time. So, you know, one can have a lot of sympathy for the department, for the health and social care system. You know, they have the money they have, they have to deliver the care, they have to deliver with that, and they can't deliver more. We as a population need more care all of the time, and that puts a lot of pressure on the system.
The health service actually needs more money every year just to stand still, John.
Yes, that's right. It needs, I think most people would say it needs about 6% a year to stand still. That's made up of, you know, about 2% of that is because we're getting older. And what does that mean? It means you need more care packages in the community. It means your average length of stay if you're in hospital is maybe half a day longer, which controls the number of beds that you can have. All of those sorts of things. It new treatments. I mean, it's interesting, wasn't there a lot of debate this week about prostate cancer robotic surgery and about getting all of that in? You know, these treatments are fantastic. They do brilliant things, but they cost money. So the way in which people were treated last year could be entirely different next year. Costs more money. And of course, there is just inflation and pay and all the other things.
So if it costs more money just to stand still, and we're taking 70 million out, this is going to have a big effect.
Well, it will have a big effect. You know, if you go to things like community care, it will obviously mean there will be a cap on the number of community care placements that are made. There'll be a cap on the amount of care in people's homes. These are the realities of life.
How can they put a cap on care in people's homes if the care in people's homes is dependent on what they actually need? How can you put a cap on that?
Well, if you haven't got the cash to pay for it, you can't buy it. It's as simple as that.
Would there be a reduction in care in people's homes?
No, there'll not be a reduction in care in people's homes, but there won't be new. You know, the growth will be. There will be no growth in terms of the numbers of people.
But how does that work? If people need the care.
Well, how it works in practice is people try to be sensitive. So if somebody assesses you for 10 hours a week in terms of your community care, you might get 8 hours. And they add all the other 2 hours up to get another 8 hours for somebody who's waiting. So you get slightly less than you need. That's how you control it. That's how you control the cash. Or you replace one care package every time you get a care package comes back to you, because these are not permanent things. They come back to you. You replace them, say, on a 1-for-2 arrangement or something of that. Those are the sorts of things that the health service does, and does all the time, by the way, in terms of trying to control the flows of cash and respond to need.
There are bigger ways. Is this unrealistic given the political vacuum? But there are bigger ways to save this money. For example, closing a hospital, closing hospitals.
Well, there are better ways. I mean, I think the difficulty that Northern Ireland has struggled with, and as a population we've all struggled with, is reform in health. Because we know reform in health makes change. Now, if you say that each year you need about 6% to run the service because of the things I've explained, if you don't reform the system, that number becomes 8%, and that 8% is where there is waste. You know, if you don't reform the thing, you just add the pressure onto the system, and it really is important that we get on with reform and with Bengoa and with all of those changes. But you know, everybody says they like change, and as soon as somebody announces a change in a local area, you have people with placards saying, "Not in my area."
The politicians have told us right throughout this period that, oh look, they're still taking a salary. Some of them are justifying it by saying, we're still working. Do you think the politicians know about this? The time period, the time scale, the deadline. You know, we're revealing this morning, it's by April next year. It's 7 months away, John.
Well, it shouldn't be a surprise to any of the significant politicians about the overall pressure in health and money and terms like that.
But what about the timeline?
Whether they know about this, I think, is debatable. You know, given the fact that we don't have an assembly, normally what would happen in these situations is there would be a lot of discussion between the minister, departmental officials, party. I'm sure there would be discussions on the floor of the House and all of that sort of thing. none of that's here. So, you know, one could speculate that there's probably very limited knowledge politically about this.
So they might be hearing this morning for the first time.
They could well be, yes.
This has to be done within the next 7 months.
They could well be.
$10 million a month. That's $2.5 million a week from the health service.
Yeah, I'm sure they could well be. You know, again, you know, the department will know. I don't what the protocols and rules are now in the current impasse that we're in.
0-30-30-80-55-55. Peter in Banbridge. Morning, Peter.
Hello, Stephen. How are you doing?
Morning. Go ahead.
No, you made a wee statement there. There's not enough money for the health service.
Yeah.
We know that. That's what you said.
Yeah, there's never enough money for the health service.
There's enough money for Theresa May 2 days ago sat in Portsmouth with two aircraft carriers costing £6 billion. And they haven't even got a plane on them yet. So there's plenty of money. The health service save lives. Aircraft carriers, by their bums, kill people. So there's plenty of money for killing people. There's just no money for saving lives.
Do you realise what we're saying to you this morning, though, Peter? This money is, it's not an if. It is coming out of the budget to care for all of us. It's coming out £10 million a month.
Yes,
coming out of the health service over the next 7 months.
You're talking millions. The Ministry of Defence, or OFANCE, they shouldn't be called, is talking in billions.
Peter, thank you. Dennis in Whitehead. Steve. Morning,
bye,
Dennis.
Bye-bye.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, a few months ago, you had a conversation with Geoffrey Donaldson about the deal that had been done between the DUP and the government.
We asked the DUP to speak to you all this morning. They won't do
That's
so.
Right. But there was a figure mentioned, not only in your programme, but in national news, but the figure mentioned was £1 billion of extra spending to Northern Ireland. If that figure is right, and health was specifically mentioned as one of the departments that would get extra money. What has happened here?
Yeah, well, health was to get, what, 200 million?
Yeah. So what's happened?
Well, the DUP, in a statement they've given us this morning, they're blaming Sinn Féin for blocking the return of devolution, and they're essentially saying it's part of Sinn Féin's fault. They pointed out that this will damage health and education.
Well, if that situation, if what they're saying there is true, surely it's time now for James Brokenshire to turn round and see what's happening. 70 million coming out of health when this money has been allocated to keep the government in power. It's the people at the end of the day that is going to suffer here.
Exactly.
It's not the DUP and Sinn Féin.
Well, those parties and other political parties would say, look, if you know they live here, it's their families, it's people they know, it's their community suffering as well.
I accept that completely. But there's a greater good for the whole community. And the Secretary of State, at the end of the day, is the government minister that carries the can. And he has been waiting since the start of the year. He's been constantly telling us just another way longer, another way longer. We're now at the end of August, and we're still talking about another way longer.
Yep.
So, like, how long can it go on?
Well, what I'm trying to say to you all this morning, Dennis, and look, it's up to you and everyone else listening, whether you actually proactively engage or not, whether you think it'll be worth your while. But you've got to give, looking at these notices in the Belfast Telegraph today, they do say, and I'll just get the team to check this, I'm pretty sure they say that you've got to get notice, you've got to give notice, a heads up before, if you want to turn up at one of these meetings. We'll just have a look at the ads now and check. But this is about whether you feel that you should go to these meetings and hear what they propose to do, because some of what they're proposing to do could be affecting you, Dennis, and your family and your friends. Where are they getting this 70 million from? John Compton here, he knows how the system works. You know, he's talking about that it's likely that it could be care packages and the amount of time people spend at home with vulnerable people, John, right?
Yes, it'll be cash control measures, because if you have to get the money quickly, the place that you can go are cash control measures. And essentially there are four places. You can control the money you spend on community care. You can control the money you spend on elective care. You can control the money you spend on agency and locum staff, which has an impact on the capacity, because whether we like it or not, the system has a large number of locum and agency staff working in it, and you can control what you buy for the health service. These are all short-term measures which will generate you cash. They actually won't fix...
What's elective care?
Elective care is hospital. So if you need a surgical operation and somebody says to you, you can get it fixed, and the normal waiting times that you've been on the programme about, they may get longer as a consequence of that.
They're ready. too
well,
long.
Well, you know, I mean, the point about...
So are you saying they might cancel operations to save money?
No, it's not so... They might not call you for an operation. They won't cancel it. They might not call you for the operation for a little bit longer. I mean, these are, you know, people... 70% of the money that's spent in health is spent on people. Their salaries, their wages, whatever. So even if you wanted to take it from people's salaries and wages who are substantive, you couldn't do it in the time. The law wouldn't allow you, you know, the issuing of redundancy notices and all of that sort of stuff. So you're driven to cash control measures. Now, ultimately, those cash control measures will express themselves in employment. They will express themselves in employment. If you're running a community care organisation and somebody says to you, I'm going to reduce your contract by 5%, you'll have to think about how many people you've got employed, or if there's a voluntary organisation, or whatever, or if you control your agency and locum staff. Ultimately, it gets to a position where you're talking about employment.
Well, let's see. All of these politicians, by the way, who do say they're still working, they're still taking a salary, they're still working. Let's see if they're going to engage this morning on one of the biggest issues to face us in Northern Ireland, our health service and how we provide that health care. And now the news this morning that by April next year, there will be 70 million less money. DUP, they've sent us a statement. Sinn Féin, no one available, trying to get us a statement. Janice Smith from the Royal College of Nursing is joining us this morning. Janice, your reaction to this?
Well, I think it's more of the same. And we've been here before. I think the interesting thing is this time they're going to consult with the public, because in the past that most certainly has not been the case. And the college, for example, has never been engaged in discussions about those cost control measures. So I think that that's a change. At least they're going to tell people now what we're proposing to do to save the money. But, you know, we didn't have to be here. And I think that this has been going on for far too long, and everybody knows that. But I have to say this morning, there are going to be no nurses left in our health service if they do not start to do something to ease the pressure on the services and the pressure on those staff.
Well, how can they, Joe? They're looking at more cuts now.
Well, I would contest that a number of years ago, these cash control measures that John is outlining there to you this morning, when they cut the numbers of nurses that they were training to save money, we are now suffering the consequences of that. We're at least 1,500 short in the health service and 1,500 short in our nursing homes. And the only way they can get nurses is through agencies, because they're just not there. And nurses are actually leaving our services every day to go and work in agencies because of the pressure that they're being put under in the service. By doing that, they're picking when they work, where they work. And they tell me they're doing it because they don't feel safe. They are absolutely terrified of something going wrong because they're working short-staffed with too many sick patients to look after and not enough nurses to do it.
John, that's a damning statement from once anyone within the health service starts talking about things not being safe, my alarm bells ring, because that's a big statement.
Well, it is a very big statement. Safety is at the core of what happens inside the health and social care system, and everybody, despite the pressures that they're under, is always preoccupied by trying to ensure that there is safety. But Janice is right. You know, you can't. The first thing is to have an honest debate with the society about what can we actually do for you in the health service, and not to create false expectations. Not to say that it's limitless, that we can do everything to everybody all of the time. Because year on year, that what happens is you run into this financial conundrum and this financial problem, and it does look to the general public as if people aren't actually managing things and aren't in control of things, and that's not fair actually on
Bengoa
health services.
Bengoa was supposed to address this. It's sitting somewhere with dust on it.
Well, you know, again, that's, I suppose, part of the political impasse we're in, which is very difficult. And, you know, there are all sorts of reasons why we're in the political impasse. But, you know, you can't deny the fact that the health and social care system is a casualty of that. It needs a proper political devolved administration to be able to take the decisions to make changes.
Yeah, but you're saying this, John, but your report, Transforming Your Care, which had similarities, big similarities to the Gore report.
Yes.
We had an executive up and running then, and it didn't happen then either.
That's partly, I think, this is all about timing and where we are at a point in time. And my hope for the Bengoa report, which I think I'm strongly supporter of, is that time has moved on and that people are more prepared to accept that there needs to be change. You know, we all actually have a responsibility to accept that we need change in our health and social care system and not the maintenance of the system as is.
I was right, actually. In fact, the ads that have been placed by these trusts, and this might be something that you might miss, because they're in the public notices system, public notices section of the Belfast Telegraph today. Actually, because if you do want to engage in this and you do want to talk to the trust, you have to give them a heads up about what you're going to talk about. Well, so they're saying that you've got to send them an email with a short outline of their address on or before 12 noon on Tuesday the 22nd of August. So the meetings are on Thursday, next Thursday. You've got to give them a heads up by Tuesday as to what you want to talk about.
Well, to explain that, Stephen, it's called speaking rights. So if you want to have speaking rights at a trust board meeting, and whilst the meeting is held in public, it is not a public meeting, it's not a free-for-all debate. So you have to sort of say to the trust board, I would like to talk about that item. Here's what I would like to talk about in the context of that item. And they will then agree to, or not, depending on the circumstances.
Can they turn you down?
It depends on what you say. I think rarely do they turn you down. People try to be reasonable. People try to stretch the rules, in my experience. And you get a maximum of about 10 minutes to make your point. And then that's part of enabling the trust board to hear what's being said on a particular subject and then to help them inform their debate and their discussion.
Okay. So if you want to find out or if you want to have input into what's happening in your area, remember, so this is Craigavon Area Hospital, the Ulster Hospital, Knockbracken Healthcare Park. This is Antrim Area Hospital. This is Altnagelvin Hospital. You've got to write to them, as John has described there. The email addresses are in the Telegraph today by Tuesday, noon on Tuesday, and you've got to turn up on Thursday, the 24th of August. Presumably, you can also turn up if you don't want to speak, if you just want to hear what they're saying, you can turn up on Thursday at noon at these various sites.